Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins four lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Ches. You'll notice that we have a special marking around Rava, the firebox marking. On the side of the Gemara, we indicate Roman numerals 1 and 2, Shvuos al Shnei Kikros. A very general comment. We're going to see oaths that are taken regarding two loaves. The topic heading at hand, Roman numeral number 1, features Shvua Shelo Ochal Kikor Zu Im Ochal Zu. He accepts upon himself an oath not to eat loaf number 1 if he eats loaf number 2. So let's think about that for a moment. First of all, there are two loaves. One is called the Isur, the actual loaf of the oath. The other loaf is called the Tanai, the condition. We have an oath that's conditional. He will be said to have violated his oath only if, after eating the, if only, we'll say, after activating the condition, the loaf of prohibition is consumed. I don't want to suggest that the order is important, but just try to envision this as a type of, we'll say, fail-safe mechanism, whereby the oath is not violated unless the condition is also violated. So that in following the order of our suggestion right now, where he swears not to eat loaf number 1 if he eats loaf number 2, at the point that he eats loaf number 1, there is no violation. The violation is stipulated on his eating loaf number 2. So that even though we classify loaf number 1 as the loaf of prohibition, the loaf of the oath, the loaf that we call the of Isur, it's nevertheless, you might say ironically, not sinful to eat that loaf in and of itself. Now we have a firebox marking around Rava. We didn't explain earlier why that is, but very simply because the Gemara, for the most part of today's shiur, will be focused on Rava's teaching. Another important point is that in order to really appreciate this Gemara, to get some, we'll say, semblance of understanding, it's imperative to learn the Gemara alongside with the Rashi. So now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Rava, Shvua Shelo Ochal Kikor Zu Im Ochal Zu. The Rashi tells us that the Seder, in actuality, is the man says, if I eat this loaf, we'll call it, if I eat loaf number 1, then I will be prohibited by oath to eat loaf number 2. Rashi explains that this is a matter of convenience, that we're setting up the Gemara as a case in that order. It enables us to refer then to loaf number 1 as the conditional loaf, and loaf number 2 as the oath loaf, the loaf of actual prohibition. Needless to say that when you're dealing with violation of oaths on a shogeg level, on an unintentional level, when the oath is violated, so a korban is brought, a sacrifice, a sin offering. When the oath is violated knowingly or willfully, that we call that mazid, then the offender is subject to lashes. We're going to note under Roman numeral number 1, the case where he says, if I eat loaf number 1, then loaf number 2 be forbidden to me by oath. We're going to see 4 cases. Number 1, Harishayna b'shoigeg v'hashniya b'mezid potter. He eats the first loaf b'shogeg, meaning he is not aware that he is now activating an oath. There's lack of awareness. At the point that he's eating that first loaf, we'll call it the conditional loaf, he forgot the oath. When he eats the second loaf, the loaf of Isur, the actual prohibited loaf, he remembered that he had a shvua. He remembered that there was an oath. And he goes ahead and eats it, knowing that he had sworn concerning this. So, very interestingly, the Gemara says, Potter, he is exempt from a sacrifice, and he is exempt from lashing. That requires explanation. So before we go on to case number 2, as we said earlier, it's imperative to go through the Rashi, adds a whole other dimension to understanding the Gemara. We pick up with the Rashi on the first, on the second line under the Gemara text, Omar Rava. Shvua shelo ochal kikar zu, im ochal zu. Nimtzei so achas isur v'achas tenai. One loaf is called the loaf of prohibition, and the other loaf is called the conditional loaf. Shenishva oleha. Ave, v'achas tenai, right. Zu shenishva oleha, havi isur. V'zu shiyitle bo, havi tenai. The one concerning which he declared an oath is called the isur, it's called the prohibited loaf, and the other loaf that he set up as a condition, that's called the tenai. Vashmin and Rava, the chol shvua shenishbal tenai, v'tola dover b'chavero. And here Rashi's about to summarize the principle of Rava. Rava tells us that every case where you have an oath that is conditional, and that the one is dependent on the other, Ein isur hashvua chalalov b'shas shvua elo b'shas maisa harishon. The oath prohibition of violating the oath does not set in at the time he consumes the prohibited loaf, but rather from the first action. Hilkoch hahi shaita shas shvua hi. Therefore, the first action is considered the time, the hour of the Shvua. If at that time Zocher es Shvuaso, Karinon Beha Adam Bishvua. If at the time of the first action, we have two loaves, at the time of his eating of the first loaf, he's called, and if he is aware of the fact that there is an oath concerning these loaves, he is considered ha'adam b'shua, meaning he is considered in full control of his awareness and his senses. He's not considered an ones. V'chola olav shvua lehischayev, and the oath then kicks in to obligate the individual korban al hashogeg. If there is an element of mistake, of unintentionality, then there will be a sacrifice. If you skip the two lines that we have in brackets, umalkos al hamezid. And if there's an element of intentionalness, then he will be liable to lashing. Now let's go over the bracketed section. We said that if there is awareness of the oath at the time that he eats the first one, he'll then be considered a man of awareness. He's not considered an ones. He's someone liable to the shvua penalties in the event that he violates. What are the penalties? Korban al hashogeg, that we read. And now in the brackets, bein she'ochal hatnai rishon, bein she'ochal ha'isa rishon. Here is the point we mentioned earlier, that the order is not a binding factor, whether he ate the conditional loaf first or he ate the prohibited loaf first. Ubilvad shetehe shgoga b'achilas ha'isur. The possibility of bringing a sacrifice will then be contingent upon his being shogeg at the time that he eats the actual prohibited loaf. So that you can have a situation where he eats the first loaf, if the first loaf is the conditional loaf, with awareness that this activates the shivua, and then when he comes to eat the actual prohibited loaf, he lacks awareness. He's unintentional. Then he would bring a korban. Rashi continues, Umalkos al hamezid, uvavachite hasro b'achilos ha'isur. Lashing will be for the intentional violation of the oath, provided that there is the warning that's requisite before the lashing penalty can be punishment can be given, and that warning must be immediately prior to the eating of the forbidden loaf. V'im kvar shochach shvuoso b'shas maisa rishon. If upon the first action he forgot that there was an oath, lo karinon bei ha'odom b'shvua, ve'ein ha'shvua chololov, lo l'korban v'lo l'malkus. And this is a very, very significant point, and that, once again, if he forgot the shvua at the time of the first action, then the oath does not take effect, not with regard to korban, nor with regard to malkus. Later on Omid Beis, a support to this will be cited from a Mishnah in the Dorim. So that Rava's principle, which Rashi repeats on Omid Beis in a very succinct fashion, is borne out by a Tanaic source. If you look at Omid Beis in the Rashi in the widest lines, we're looking at the sixth of the widest lines on Omid Beis. Rashi there says, Afana nami tanina, kidim rova. We have a Tanaic source that will support rova. Shatoyle shvua bedover acher, one who makes his oath dependent on something else. The kiyem hatnai tchila, and the conditional aspect is activated at the outset. He has to be aware of the oath at that time. V'im lav ein hashvua chola, and if not, then the oath is not activated. Let's continue with the Rashi on Omid Aleph. The case number one that we read in the Gemara already, Ochal es harishona, the case had said he ate the first one. And in our example, for convenience sake, we're referring to the conditional loaf as the first one. As we said, the case involves someone saying, if I eat this one, then I am restricted by oath in eating the second one. And we said that he ate the first one b'shogeg without awareness of the shvua. And the second one, he ate aware that he had made an oath. He is exempt from the korban and from malchus. And now we read in the Rashi, Ochal as a Rishona, B'chuli Hahid, the Tanai, the conditional of Kori Rishona. Shekach Hoysu Seder Shvuoso. The following was the order of events in his oath making. He said, Im Ochal Zu, Loi Ochal Zu. If I end up eating the first one, then I prohibit myself through an oath in eating the second one. V'hai denokan achilas hatanai b'resha, that we make mention of eating the conditional loaf first, laf mishum diovid ibcho lo chayla. We're not here to suggest that if he did the opposite, namely he ate the prohibited loaf first, there would be no shvua. Devadai chayla, umischayv lemafreya. If he ate the prohibited loaf first and then ate the conditional loaf, so the and he's in a state of awareness, so the oath is chal, is takes hold retroactively upon his eating the conditional loaf. So why are we so insistent right now in referring to the conditional loaf as the first one? Elo mishum deboi l'neimar, because we need to illustrate in the Gemara rishona mezid b'mezid v'shnia b'shogeg chayav korban. You'll see in the Gemara itself that's case number 2. V'dafka dahach shnia de isur hu. It's only in that case that the second loaf is the oath loaf. Can we say that a korban obligation will be generated? The havyolo shgoga ba'achilas isur, where you have the unintentional aspect with regard to the consumption of the prohibited loaf. The ibetnai, if the unintentional aspect is upon the consumption of the conditional loaf, loi maisi korban al achilas ho isur lemafreya shahoyso mezid ubeheter. If you had it set up where the person swore he's not going to eat loaf one if he eats loaf number two, and the shogeg is then on the number two loaf, which is the conditional loaf, after having eaten the first loaf, aware of the shvua, eating the second loaf with a shogeg intention, forgetting about the loaf, that's not going to generate a korban. Shadayin lo nesro loaf. Eating the first loaf, the prohibited loaf, before activating the condition, doesn't constitute a prohibited eating whatsoever. V'afal pi shu shogeg b'shas achilo achrono. Even though he might be shogeg upon eating the second loaf, shu over bo ala shvula mafreya, where in fact he's in violation of the oath retroactively, nevertheless, as far as a korban is concerned, shkoga beisur boinon, we need the shkoga to be surrounding the prohibited loaf. So in order to conclude what we see in case number 2, that there's a chiyuv korban, you have to say that the first loaf that he ate b'mezid was the conditional loaf, and the second loaf that he ate b'shogeg was the isur loaf. Then, and only then, will we be able to see a korban obligation. Because, as we said, the shkoga, the unintentionalness, is with respect to the isur, the oath loaf. So, with all of that, having been said, we go back to the Gemara. Case. Let us actually, before we go back to the Gemara, let's continue with the Rashi. Ochal es harishona b'shogeg, ushnia b'mezid potter. B'sh'as achila rishona, when he was eating the first one, and we said the first one is the conditional loaf, he kvar shochach shvuaso. He forgot the shvua. Uksha'ochal isur hoyazochar es shvuaso. When he ate the second loaf, the Isur, the oath loaf, he remembered that he had sworn. The Avar Aleh B'mezid. And he ate it, knowing that he had taken an oath not to do so. Potur Mimalkus Vafilu Basra. He is exempt from lashing, even had there been warning prior. Lefishalo Choloshu Alav. The oath does not take effect. Shehare b'shas achila rishona shoysa shvua ru'uyo lachul. Because at the time that he ate the first loaf, which was the time of the shvua activation, this is a point that we saw earlier in the Rashi. We even have a little arrow to the side of the Rashi. You can see where we heard that, where we mentioned that before. There is the first action is the point at which the Shavuah is activated. So in this case, upon that first action, Kvar Shachua Choya, he forgot that there was an oath. For lo Karina Ve Ha'odim B'Shavuah, we cannot refer to him, the Pasuk that says Ha'odim B'Shavuah, which means that he is aware, he has full awareness. Only someone who has full awareness can be guilty of the Shavua violation. But all of that is dependent upon the state of the individual at the time of the first action. The kol shekein mikorban, and certainly in this case where he ate the conditional loaf b'shogeg and the isur loaf b'mezid, he's certainly going to be exempt from a sacrifice, shein korban al ha'mezid. One doesn't bring sacrifices for mazed, for willful violations. So, with all that having been said, we've explained case number one: Harishona b'shogeg, sheni b'mazed. He is exempt from sacrifice. He's exempt from lashings. Case number two in the Gemara: Rishona b'mazed, ushnia b'shogeg, chayav. If he ate the conditional loaf with the knowledge that this activates an oath, and at the second loaf will be prohibited, and then he eats the second loaf, which is the actual Easter loaf, and at that point he forgot that there had been a shvua. The Gemara or Rava rules chayav, he is obligated in bringing a korban. And again, we look at Rashi. Rishayna b'mezid, shniya b'shoigeg, chayav. Kishochal hatnai, rishon, when he ate the conditional loaf first, hoyazochur es shvuaso, he was aware of the shvua. The ochloi b'mezid, and he ate it anyway. Ubeheter gomor, what he ate at that point, the conditional loaf, that's the loaf that activates the shvua, but there's no shvua violation at that point. Sharei lo olov nishba, he didn't swear not to eat that loaf. He simply said, if I eat this loaf, so then the other loaf is prohibited to me through an oath. V'hi achilo rishona b'mezid. So we've described here the initial consumption done with awareness. So isur ochloi behelam shvua. And when he ate the second loaf, which was the actual oath loaf, he forgot that he had made an oath. Chayev korban, he's obligated to bring the sacrifice that the Torah mandates for a Shvuas Bitui in Vayikra Perek Hei. Hayom ubachila rishona zochur hu eshvuaso viodea shebachila zu oser lovas hashnia. Since at the time he ate the first loaf, recognizing that it activates the prohibition of eating the second loaf, ha'adam b'shvuah karina bay, he is called a man of awareness. He is then eligible to be a violator of shvuah spitoi. V'chol olav shvuah, and the shvuah will take effect. U'v'sho'ochal shniah shogeg harei ovar al shvuaso shogeg v'chayev korban. And then when he ate the second loaf, the actual prohibited loaf, but he did so in a state of unawareness, that makes him obligated to bring the sacrifice, the korban chatas. The third case, in the Gemara, you can see the bottom line, shtehen b'shogeg poter. If he ended up eating both loaves, lacking awareness, forgetting that there was a shvuah, so he is exempt, regardless of whether he ate the conditional loaf first or he ate the prohibited loaf first. He is exempt, as we saw already before, namely at the achila rishona, the time at which the shvuah should have been activated, but at that point he had forgotten the shvua, so it doesn't take hold. He's not called ha'odam b'shvua in order for the second loaf to be activated as an isur loaf, so that it's even though when eating the second loaf, the prohibited loaf, he was in fact shogeg, he's not going to be chayev a korban because the shvua was never activated. You have to be at the point of activation aware. You have to be ha'odom b'shvua. Odom meaning the person aware of the oath. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Shtehen b'mezid. Both loaves eaten in a state of full awareness. Now here, the Gemara departs a little bit from our original example of the order where the conditional was first and the prohibited loaf second. Here both possibilities are going to be presented in the Gemara, and you'll see the different outcome. So both loaves, the conditional loaf and the oath loaf, the Isur loaf, he ate with awareness that he had sworn not to eat one of those loaves. Achle l'tnai v'hodar achle l'isurei. Here we deal with the order. If he ate first the conditional loaf, so the oath is activated. He then eats the actual prohibited loaf second with full awareness, still with full awareness. Mechayev. So he is going to be obligated in receiving lashing. As we said, the oath was fully activated, and upon eating the Isur loaf, of course, if he received a warning that he would receive lashes, and he eats it anyway, he gets lashed. Switching the order now, Achle l'Isure v'hodar Achle l'Tnoe. He ate the actual prohibited loaf, b'mezid, aware that he had sworn. But now, at that very point, he's not in violation of anything because he needs to eat the second loaf in order to activate the shvua. So that, at this point, let us also mention another very important issue when it comes to mezid and malkois. We said that a warning is a prerequisite before you can give the malkos punishment. But another detail is that the warning must be prior to the actual violation, to the Isur loaf. Warning prior to the conditional loaf does not constitute an acceptable hasra'ah, an acceptable warning. So that if you're even going to contemplate Malkos in this case, the case that we've labeled Beis, then you're going to have to talk about a Hasra prior to eating the first loaf. In this case, that's the Isur loaf. When he eats that Isur loaf, we said, right then and there, he's not actually in violation. Will he violate his Shvuah retroactively? Yeah, he will, if, but only if, it's a suffix, if he eats the second loaf, the conditional loaf. I inserted, and very much intentionally, the word suffix. So, once again, is this person going to be in violation of the oath at the time that he eats the first loaf, the Iser loaf? Well, it depends. It's a matter of doubt. If he eats the conditional loaf, then yes. If not, not. So how is the Hasra going to be given over here? The Hasra, the warning that he could be liable to Malkus. It would have to be given prior to the eating of the first loaf, which in this case is the Iser loaf, as we said, in accordance with the rules of Hasra. The warning from Malkus must be immediately prior to the eating of the Isur, not prior to the eating of the conditional one. However, at the time that he gives the Hasra, it's not known that he is going to be in, by doing the immediate succeeding action, that he is going to be in violation. It's not known that he's going to be in violation. It's a matter of doubt. It's dependent on his eating the conditional loaf later. This is what we call Hasra Sofek, a Hasra that's based on doubt. So, in the Gemara, second line from the top, Achle li surei v'hodar achle li tnoi. If he eats first the actual prohibited loaf, the oath loaf, and then eats the conditional loaf, plukto de Rabbi Yochanan Rav Shlokish. There's a machlokis between these Amoroim as to whether he'll receive Malkus. The question boils down to, is the warning given over here an effective warning? According to the opinion, it says that a hasra, a warning that's based on an element of doubt, is nevertheless considered an efficient, a sufficient type warning. Chayav, then he'll be subject to Malkus. Laman diomar lav shmo hasra potter. According to the opinion, says that a hasra is that's based on doubt is not an effective hasra, so then he's exempt from receiving the Malkus. You can't give Malkus without a proper hasra. And now we come to a Roman numeral number 2. Again, we're dealing with 2 loaves. However, this is a little more complicated or intertwined, if you will. Tolon zu bazu. He makes one dependent on the other, and vice versa. The result is going to be that each loaf has 2 identities. Each loaf is conditional, and each loaf represents the Isur loaf. What does he say when it's a case of Tolon zu bazu? Lo ochal zu, im ochal zu. Lo ochal zu, im ochal zu. So he's saying, I'm not going to eat loaf number 1. In other words, he swears not to eat loaf number 1 if he eats loaf number 2. And he swears that loaf number 2 is prohibited by power of oath if he eats loaf number 1. V'ochal. And then he eats. Once again, you'll see in the Gemara, you see there are 4 examples. Examples 3 and 4, you can see, are similar to examples 3 and 4 in the previous case, Shtein B'Shogeg, and Shtein B'Mezid. Case, example number 1 in this scenario, where he had said, if He swears not to eat loaf one if he eats loaf two. And he swears not to eat loaf two if he eats loaf number one. Zu, and we say he ate. Zu bezodoin atzma ubeshigigas chaverta. Vezu bezodoin atzma ubeshigigas chaverta. Potter, he is exempt. So when eating loaf number one, he knows that it is the subject of an oath. But at that point, he forgot that there was a shvua regarding loaf number two. And when he ate loaf number two, he was aware that he had sworn not to eat it, but forgot about loaf number one as being a loaf of oath. The ruling of the Gemara is potter, he is exempt. At this point, we look at the Rashi. Rashi, more or less across from here, Tolan Zubazu, Shtehen Kedemeforsh Viozil, he was Toila, he made one dependent on the other, as it will be explained. Nimtsu Shtehen Isur Ushtehem Tanai. The result of this is that both loaves have the identity of being Isur and also have the identity of being conditional. Then Rashi gives us the Girsa that we have, and we skip to the next Dibur HaMasel of Rashi. Ochal Zu Bezodoin Atzmo Fshikas Chaverta. What does that mean? Zohar hu shenishba oleho. He remembered when he ate loaf number one that it's the subject of an oath. Im yochal chaverta, if he eats the second loaf. Avol shochuachu shenishba al chaverta im yochal zu. But at that moment, he happened to forget that the second loaf is also the subject of a vow of an oath of prohibition if he eats the first one. So the first loaf represents the conditional loaf vis-a-vis the second loaf with its identity as a prohibited loaf. So if you think about that for a moment, based on what we learned before, the first action with regard to the second loaf to make it a loaf of prohibition is the consumption of the first loaf. But at that point, when the first loaf is being consumed, he forgets that there is a shvua regarding the second loaf. Let's continue in the Rashi. Im yochal zu v'chola olav shvuas atzmo she'im yochal chaverta yischayev al zu l'mafreya. If he eats the first loaf with the awareness that it is the subject of the shvua, the shvua then will be activated l'mafreya when he eats the second loaf. Avol shvuas chaverta lo chola olav. The shvua concerning the second loaf doesn't take hold. Shebachila rishona hoyu shtei hashvuas rius lachu. At the initial eating of loaf number one, both shvuas were fit to take hold. Vare shochuachu al shvuas chaverta. Well, at that point, though, he was unaware, he had forgotten about the shvua regarding loaf number two. Zu bezodin atzmo v'shigas chaverta. So in this case where the first loaf was done with awareness that it is the subject of a shvua, which would be activated if he eats loaf number two, potter, Bein mimalkus shnia shumezit. Bein mikorban shel rishona sheovar oleo shogeg limafreya. Kishochal es hashnia. So Rashi is explaining that in this case he'll be exempt from the malkois, the lashing regarding the eating of the second loaf, which was bimezit, which was done intentional, and he'll be exempt from the sacrifice concerning the first loaf that he was in violation of b'shogeg retroactively, kishocha, when he ate the second loaf. Mimalkis hashniya potter, as far as receiving lashing for having eaten the second loaf, there he's exempt kideprecious, as we explained earlier, shelo chololov shvua mitchila. The shvua doesn't set in regarding that second loaf, because when he ate the first loaf, which was the time of activating the oath concerning the second loaf as well, at that point he had forgotten that there was a shvua concerning that second loaf. And we emphasized already several times that in order for a shvua to be activated, when the first action is done, there has to be awareness of the shvua. And vis-a-vis that second loaf, when the first loaf was being eaten, which was the conditional loaf for the second one, he was not aware of the shvua concerning the second loaf. Umikorban shel lemafreya de rishona poter shelo hoisa shgaga ba'achilasa. And as far as the sacrifice for the retroactive violation of the first loaf, there can't be a sacrifice. Why? Because the element of shgaga concerning the eating of that first loaf as a shvua, as an Easter loaf, when he ate that first loaf, he was aware of the shvua. There wasn't an element of shgaga at the point of the Isur. And we emphasized earlier that a korban is brought when there's shogeg at the point of the Isur, not at the point of the condition. Vanan shgaga b'achilas Isur bo'inan. And we, in order to obligate a person in bringing a sacrifice, there has to be the unintentional element at the time of eating of the Isur. Even though there is an element of shgaga, of unintentionalness when the shvua is violated, namely upon eating the second loaf, ein mischayev olel korban. That's not enough to obligate a sacrifice. Shakorban ala rishona ba. The korban would have been brought for the first loaf. Vayisachilo beheter hoisavelo karina be techto bishgaga. When he ate that first loaf, he was not doing anything prohibited. The element of prohibition is only in retrospect, retroactively. But that type of shogeg does not obligate a korban. The pasuk says techto b'shogeg means when the chait is done, when the iser loaf is consumed, it would have to be b'shogeg, which was not the case over here. As we mentioned, when he ate the second loaf, he had forgotten that he had taken a shvua on the first loaf. So it's true, there is an element of shgaga here, but the shgaga is only concerning the conditional loaf vis-a-vis the first loaf, i.e. the second loaf is the conditional loaf. and shogeg at the time of the tenai is not the shogeg that obligates in the bringing of a sacrifice. We turn back to the Gemara and we note case number 2. In the Gemara, Zu b'shigigas atzma u'b'zodon chaverta, when he ate loaf number 1, he forgot that there had been a shvua concerning that, but was aware that there was a shvua concerning loaf number 2. V'zu b'shigigas atzma u'b'zodon chaverta, and when he ate loaf number 2, he forgot that it had been the subject of a shvua, but was aware that there had been a shvua concerning loaf number 1. The Gemara rules chayav. So now Rashi explains. We pick up Rashi where we left off. Zu b'shigigas atzma u'b'zodon chaverta chayav. When he ate the first loaf, the first loaf is considered the Easter loaf, where the second loaf is its condition. So he had forgotten, upon eating the first loaf, he had forgotten that he had sworn not to eat it, if he eats the second loaf. Ulagabi shvua dida. Lo karino be ha'odom bishvua. And regarding the necessity of having awareness, which we have referred to by the pasuk ha'odom bishvua, so you don't have awareness. Uksha'ochal shnia, ochla b'shigigas atzma, and when he ate the second loaf, he forgot that it had been the subject of a shvua. Sheshochach shenishba leha, aval zachur hu shenishba al rishona, ubaachila shniotola. When he ate that second loaf, he remembered that he had sworn concerning the first loaf, and the shvur was dependent on his eating of this second loaf. Chayav korban al hashniya. You will see that he is obligated in bringing a sacrifice for the second loaf. Why? Sharei chola shvuaso alav mitchilasa. When the first action took place, it was done with awareness that the second loaf was the subject of a shvua. Ukshe achla. Over al shvuaso shogeg. So that to review, why is it that regarding the eating of the second loaf, he will be obligated in bringing a sacrifice? Because when the oath was activated with regard to that second loaf, how did we explain before? The point of loaf of oath activation is dependent on what was his state of mind at the first action. Loaf number 1, vis-a-vis the second loaf, is the conditional loaf. But at that point, at the first action, when he ate loaf number 1, he was aware of the shvua on the second loaf. So the shvua on the second loaf was activated. Then when he comes to eat that second loaf, which is an Isur loaf, he forgot that he had sworn on it, sworn regarding it. So that's a case of violating the Isur b'shogeg. That is exactly the grounds on which we obligate someone in bringing a sacrifice, a korban chatas. Avol malchus arishoina lo. But to say that there should be lashing for the first loaf, that we can't say. Sharei mitchila lo chola olav shvua. Regarding that first loaf, when he ate the first loaf, he had forgotten that it was the subject of an oath. So the Shvuah doesn't even get started. Hilchach lo loki. If the Shvuah doesn't get started, so then there's no grounds for any lashing. For lo karino bay, we can't refer to him the concept of ein shov midioso eitzel shnia lefotro mikorban mishum avayon lavor al shvua shere ein mezid ze avera. Let us explain this last phrase in the Rashi. There's a concept of ein shov midioso. That's a description of someone who is a willing sinner, a willing violator. Someone who is described as ein shov midioso. Midioso means with his awareness. Ein shov means he does not do tshuva. He doesn't desist. He doesn't repent from the act of sin upon discovering that he's committed a sinful act. So someone that's called ein shov midioso would not bring a sacrifice. A sacrifice is brought only by people who are shov midioso, who when becoming aware of their sin, they would not do it. They would not do it again. They would desist. So Rashi's saying that upon eating the first loaf, which was the conditional loaf regarding the loaf number two, and when he ate loaf number one, he was aware that loaf number two was a shvua loaf, and that this activates the shvua. And he ate that first loaf willingly, knowingly. It nevertheless, we mentioned before that with regard to the second loaf, he is going to bring a korban. So Rashi's pointing out, don't think that he's considered an ein shov miyadiyoso by having eaten the first loaf with the knowledge that it's the conditional loaf vis-a-vis the second one. And had we called him ein shov midioso, he would have been exempted from a sacrifice, as on the grounds that he is a sinner. That's simply not the case, because eating the first loaf with awareness that the second loaf is the Easter loaf, that first loaf was not a consumption of sin. It wasn't a sinful consumption. Why? Because the eating of the first loaf vis-a-vis that second loaf would be a problem only if he does eat the second loaf. But in and of itself, it's simply the conditional loaf, and it's not the actual Esor. So that does not enable us to consider him an ein shov midioso vis-a-vis the second loaf, and therefore he does bring a sacrifice for having eaten the second loaf in a state of shgoga. We go back to the Gemara. Case number three. Shtehen b'shogeg. We have the two loaves, which in this case he ate both loaves unaware of the Shvua, so there is total exemption. Why? Because at the point of the eating of the first one is the point at which, remember we said the first action is the point at which the Shvua would be activated. But at that point, he was not aware. So we lack required element of ha'odom b'shvua, man being with awareness. Shtehen b'mezid, he eats, let us say he ate both loaves, fully aware that upon eating loaf number one, he is aware that it is prohibited if he eats loaf number two. And when he eats loaf number two, he is fully aware that it is prohibited by oath, assuming that he had eaten loaf number one, the conditional loaf. Ashniya mechayev. For having eaten the second loaf, he is going to be subject to lashes, because the warning that he is given before eating that second loaf is a warning that we call hasras vadai. It's a warning that is definitive, that is definite. What do we mean by that? Well, is the second loaf a loaf of oath? Yes. Which was its condition? The first loaf. And the first loaf was eaten with awareness that the second loaf is actually the subject of a vow. So you have the element of the ha'odah b'shua, the oath is activated. And then right before eating the second loaf, he receives a warning. Well, at that point, the eating of that second loaf will be a definite violation. The condition for it has already been activated by his eating the first loaf. That's a hasras vadai. So for the second loaf, there is going to be lashing, assuming, of course, that there was hasra right before that. Arishona plukto de Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish. For eating that first loaf with the knowledge that it was the subject of an oath, is he going to get lashes? So we have to think about this. When is the warning for lashes required? Prior to the eating of the Isur loaf. Is loaf number one an Isur loaf? Yes. Is there a violation at the time that you're eating the Isur loaf? No. Because at the time you're eating loaf number one as an oath loaf, its violation is dependent upon eating loaf number two, which he didn't do at that point. So he would be receiving a hasra that's suffic, that's doubtful. Will he be in violation of this or not? It's dependent on whether or not he'll eat loaf number two. We don't know that at the point of the Isur, of eating loaf number one as an oath loaf. So is the hasra that's based on doubt considered a sufficient hasra? So the Gemara says, Plukta de Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish. This is the machlokas we alluded to earlier between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. If you say that hasra safek is a sufficient type hasra, he'll be subject to lashings for eating loaf number one as well. Of course, when he eats loaf number two, which retroactively activates the shvua on loaf number one. If you hold hasra safek is insufficient, it does not qualify as hasra, so he won't receive lashings for loaf number one. Omar Rav Mori af anan nami tanina. We have a Tanaic source that serves as a basis or support for Rava's teaching. And what was Rava's teaching? So we saw this Rashi earlier. Let's look at it again. Afananami Tnino, in the wide lines of the Rashi, Kedah Rava. A Tanaic source like Rava, Shehatoyle Shvua B'Dover Acher. One who makes an oath and makes it dependent on something else. The Kiyem Atnai Tchila, and he fulfills the conditional aspect first. Sor She Zohar L'Shvuasu B'Yisushah. He has to be aware of the Shvua at that moment. V'im Lav, if he's not aware of the Shvua at the Kiyum Hatnai, which is first, Ein HaShvua Chala, the Shvua is simply not activated. In simple terms, there's no Shvua. So the Gemara goes on, with Rav Mori telling us that we've learned thusly. And this is based on a Mishnah in the Nedarim. Now, we have a text that's in parentheses, I recommend reading it. It's true that it might not be part of the Girs of the Gemara, as you can see that Rashi gives you the background, quoting that which you see in the parentheses, showing us that it probably wasn't part of the Gemara's Girsa. But nevertheless, by way of understanding, it's helpful. We read this. These words are from Maseches Nedarim as well. Arba Nedarim Hetiru Chachomim. There are four kinds of vows. And here we make reference to Nedarim, bearing in mind that there's a realm called Nedarim, vows, and there's a realm called Shvuos. Shvuos are oaths. They are, on a strict definition level, they are different. Even though, when we go through the Gemara, we sometimes use the terms interchangeably. But there are four kinds of Nedarim, that Hetir Chachomim means that the Chachomim declared as being non-vows, that you don't even have to seek out annulment or absolution from them. What are the categories? Nidrei Zeruzin, Nidrei Havai, Nidrei Shkogos, Nidrei Oinsin. What draws our attention is Nidrei Shkogos, and hence we keep reading Nidrei Shkogos Ketzad. What is an example of a neder done with a shogeg element? So here, once again, the Gemara is a bit terse. A person declares some item as being forbidden to him using the konam expression. The konam is an expression that represents a neder. So he says that he declares some object as being forbidden to him if he ate today. Konam im ochalti vim shosisi. So imagine someone says that he forbids the loaf of bread upon himself if he ate or drank anything today. Veniska she'ochal v'shosa. And then he remembers that he, in fact, did eat or drink. Another example, she'ani or she'eni ochel, she'eni shoyse. Rashi explains, we have a little star to help you find it quickly. Koinim she'ani ochel, koinim olai, dover ploni, imani ochel hayom. Something, some object will be forbidden to him if he eats today. V'shochach shvosei v'ochal v'shosa. And he forgot that he made this oath. And he went ahead and ate and drank. Mutur b'yisadover. He is allowed to enjoy, to benefit from that item that he had declared forbidden to him. Hainu d'rava. Shetzor she'zochur l'neder b'shas kiyum hatnai. This is what Rava had taught, that you have to be aware of the neder at the time that the condition is being fulfilled. And in this case, the condition making that object forbidden would be his eating on that day. That's the tnai. As he said, imani ochel hayom. Then when he was about to eat, he forgot that he had made a vow. Oh, so at the time of the Tanai, he forgot the vow? The Mishnah in the Dorim says, it's not a vow. Showing what Rava taught, that you have to be aware of the vow at the time of the condition. So the Mishnah there says, Shochach v'ochal, v'shosa, he forgot. That he forgot and went ahead and ate and drank. Mutter means there's no vow. The Tani Allah, and we have another Tanaic source that complements this Mishnah. Kishem shenidre shkogos mutaron kach shvuos shkogos mutaros. Here, notice we dash on the word shvuos because this is the real tie-in. Just like Nidrei Shkogos are non-binding, so too Shvuos Shkogos are not binding. We continue in the Gemara. There's a name here, Ephah. It's a name, Ephah. He has a brother whose name is Avimi. They happen to be the sons of Rahba of Pubadisa. As we scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice a number of triangles, and they appear in alternating directions. So on the side, we have under our Nosei Mivne heading, triangles. In this case, we have a shaded in tip. They represent Shalosh She'elos Shishal Avimius Ephah Ochiv. Three questions that Avimi presents to his brother Ephah, Be'inyin Shvua Chola Al Shvua. The common thread here has to do with a second Shvua. Does it take hold on the heels of a first Shvua, of an initial Shvua? The inverted triangle represents Tshuva Shel Ephah, Ephah's responses. The triangle, as it repositions with the point up, not the shaded ones, but a regular triangle, they represent Dechios Shel Avimi. So what you're going to notice, Avimi presents a question, Ephah answers it, and Avimi rejects the answer. And you'll see, time and time again, the expression Ishtabashta, which is double underlined, where Avimi declares to Ephah, you know, you gave me an answer, but it's Ishtabashta, you messed up. Now the Gemara. Ephah, the name of a person, Toni Shvus Bei Rabba, he had learned Masech Shvus in the Yeshiva of Rabba. Poga Bei Avimi Achva. Avimi, Ephah's brother, met up with him. Omar Le, Avimi asks, Shvua Shelo Achalti, Shvua Shelo Achalti Mahu. Person swears twice. Let's emphasize, though, it's in the past tense. He says, Shvua, he swears that he did not eat. And again, swears he did not eat. What is the din? And of course, it turns out that he did eat. How many violations are there? Omar Le, so Ephah answers, Eino chayav elo achas. There's only one actual violation because of the principle of Ein Shvua Chola Al Shvua. A second Shvua cannot be superimposed on a first Shvua. Omar Le, so Avimi answers back, Ishtabashta, you messed up in your answer. Hare Yotza Shvua L'Sheker. The second Shvua is no less a lie than the first Shvua. There is a concept of Ein Shvua Chala Shvua. That would be a case of a Shvua, let's say, of a future nature. Person swears that he will not eat the loaf of bread. He then swears again he will not eat the loaf of bread. At the time he's taking the second Shvua, he's already bound by the first Shvua not to do that, not to eat the second, not to eat that loaf. So we call that mushvil diomid. He's already restricted. So you're not adding anything by making that second oath to eat the bread. But in the case of this past tense shvua, the second shvua, which is in fact a falsehood, is no less a lie than the first shvua. Let us take a look at the Rashi in the lower part of the wide lines. Hare yotze shvua l'sheker mi shenishba rishona yotze l'sheker mi piv v'hochala. When he made the first oath swearing that he had not eaten when he did, that's it, finished, he lied. V'hashniya shvua cheresi l'atzma, the second statement of his claiming again he had not eaten when he did, there's a second independent statement. Vein l'cholav fotro b'shvua l'sho'ovar. And there is no grounds of exempting him when you're dealing with a past tense shvua mishum on the grounds of ein shvua cholal shvua. Elo b'shvua l'habo. The idea of exemption from a second shvuah on the grounds that a second shvuah is not superimposed on a first shvuah, that's when you're dealing with a shvuah labo, a future tense shvuah. Shechayz reishel of esaiser, when he repeats through an oath a prohibition on something that he already had prohibited, v'havilei nishba l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. At that point, you're simply swearing to uphold or to fulfill a mitzvah. So that if you had sworn to, let's say, not to eat the bread, the second oath, again, not to eat the bread, that's swearing to fulfill that which you already established as a prohibition. To fulfill that which you already established as a prohibition is called the nishba. It's called the nishba l'kayim es ha-mitzvah. And as we've seen in previous dapim, shvuos concerning mitzvahs are not do not get started based on the gzeres ha-kosuv that we had extensively earlier, lahara lahitiv, which has to do with the realm of rishus. We continue in the Gemara. Question number two that Avimi presents to Eifa. Shvua shelo ochal pesha ve'eser. He swears, there are two separate oaths. He swears not to eat nine pieces of whatever. And then he swears not to eat 10 pieces. Mahu. What is the halacha when he eats the 10 pieces? How many shvuas has he violated? Amarle, so Eifa answers, chayav al kol achas v'achas. He's chayav for both shvuas. Amarle, ishtabashta. Avimi says, no, you are making a mistake. Why? Itesha lo ochil, eser lo ochil. The ability, say, to violate the eating of 10 is totally dependent on his eating of 9. You don't get to 10 unless you go through 9. This is explained at greater length in the Rashi. Shelo ochal teisha ve'eser. Shtei shvuos hayu. We're reading in the Rashi. Shvuo shelo ochal teisha teinim. Person swore not to eat 9 things. V'chozer v'yomer shvuo shelo ochal eser teinim. And then he swore a second oath not to eat 10 figs. V'ochal eser teinim be'elam echad. And he ate 10 figs in one state of lack of awareness. Mahu. So the Rashi says, To'o loymar, he made a mistake. She'ein ha-shvua achrona b'chlal shvua rishona ve'ein zu shvua chalal shvua. He thought that the second shvua is not included in the first shvua. And on that point, ishtabashta, he made a mistake. The shvua al shvua hi. It really is a second shvua being superimposed on a first shvua. Shehanishba shelo yochal teisha, one who swore not to eat 9, nishba al eser. He, in effect, is swearing not to eat 10. What do we mean by that? The chokama de lo chal teisha lo osi lichal eser. As long as you have not eaten 9, you're not going to come to 10. So, in effect, the second oath is merely an example of superimposing on the first oath of 9. Question 3. Shvua shelo ochal eser v'teisha mahu. Just the opposite. He swears not to eat 10. And then he swears not to eat 9. What is the din? Well, so coming on the heels of the previous case, Eifa Amarle, Eifa answers, Eino chayov elo achas. It's one oath. And it's chayav for only one. In other words, if you swore not to eat 10, so, well, that includes 9. So that the second oath is a shvua al shvua. It's starting trying to superimpose a shvua on the first shvua. Omar le, ishtabashta. You made a mistake again. At the time that you took the first oath, what was forbidden? 10. Was 9 forbidden at that point? No. When you took the first oath, you would have been allowed to eat 9 figs. At the point of the first oath, the violation is only if you eat 10, not if you eat 9. So at that point, the eating of 9 figs is something that would have been allowed. When you then swear not to eat 9, that's a new shvua. So that if you eat 10 figs, in this case, you will have been in violation of 2 shvuas. As we said, at the time of the first shvua, there was room for that second shvua to take hold. Omar Abaye. Now here we have a long marking. This takes us till the next Mishnah on the upper part of Chof Tes Omer Aleph. On the side of the Gemara we have a Tatnose, a subtopic heading. Heoras Abaye. Abaye makes a point. The Yesh Mikre, there is a case She'efshe Lahamid Shuvas Eifa, where we can preserve Eifa's answer, the Chayav Rak Achas Bedugma Shel Eser Teisha. In the example of the 10 and then the 9, which Eifa had said he's Chayav when he eats the 10, he's Chayav only 1 because he figured that 9 was part of 10, is really considered only 1 Shvua. We'll be able to maintain that given special circumstances. And here we go in the Gemara. Omar Abaye, Zimnin de Mishkachas Law Laha de Eifa. There are times that we can maintain Eifa's response in the case of swearing not to eat 10, and then swearing not to eat 9, and that when he eats the 10, he'll be chayav only 1. Kidamor, based on Moore's teaching. Moore happens to be Rabbah, the Omar Rabbah. Shvua shelo ochal te'enim va'anovim. Imagine a person swore not to eat figs and grapes on one day. Not to eat them together on one day. V'chozar v'yomar shvua shelo ochal te'enim. When he swore his first oath, the first oath was not to eat both. Was there room for the second oath to take hold? Yeah, the second oath was simply to eat not to eat figs. What happens then? We continue at the top of Chof Tes Omer Aleph. The ochal te'enim. He ate figs. Ve'hifrish korban. And then he set aside a sacrifice. And then he ate grapes on their own by themselves. Rashi at the top, the ochal teinim behelim shvuachrino. He ate, in this case, he ate the figs, forgetting about the second shvua that he had taken. The hifrish korban, and set aside a sacrifice. The chozar v'ochal anovim behelim shvur rishona. And then he ate grapes, not remembering the initial vow. The kevon shehifish korban al hateinim, upon setting aside a sacrifice for the te'enim, su lo mitstarfi anovim ba'adayu l'chivei ha'shvuos ha'kamaisa. That prevents the grapes from joining together with those figs to constitute a violation of the first shvuah. Let's read a little more in the Gemara. On the second line from the top, describing the case we just had, where after setting aside a korban for the ta'anim, he then ate anovim by themselves. Havyiluhu anovim chatzi shiur. The anovim, the grapes, constitute half of the quantity of prohibition. The quantity of prohibition in the first shvua was defined by eating figs with grapes. He ate only grapes at this point. V'achatzi shir lo mechayev korban. And for eating half the quantity, half the defined prohibition, one doesn't bring a sacrifice. Hachanami, now applying it to the case before the Eifa and Avimi, Kegoin the Omar shvur shelo ochal eser. He swore not to eat 10. V'chozar the Omar shvur shelo ochal tesha. And then he swore a second oath not to eat 9. At the point that he swore not to eat 10, there was room for this second oath to take hold. V'ochal tesha. He then ate 9. V'hifrish korban, and set aside a sacrifice for having violated this vow unintentionally. V'achakach ochal asiris, and then he ate a 10th fig, forgetting that he had sworn the first oath. Does that 10th join up with the 9? No. Havyilo asiris chatzi shiur. That 10th fig is, again, a chatzi shiur. It's only part of the quantity required for the first oath violation. V'chatzi shiur lo mechayev. And on chatzi shiur, on partial quantity, we don't obligate the bringing of a sacrifice. So, using this case of the hafroshes korban, of the setting aside of a korban, you are able to maintain Eifa's answer in the case of 10-9, that he's only going to end up bringing one sacrifice. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.